live from Music Row in Nashville. This is Roy Mathock Jr.'s Money and Business Hour.
Good morning, Roy Mathock Jr. here, and we're going to have a great show. You know, we always talk about small business and making money and getting control of your finances. And today is going to be a very interesting show because, you know, normally I don't have guests on here. And so as a result of that, you know, sometimes I miss out on some things that really are exciting to talk about. And I say that because, you know, when you start a business, there's so many different things, and a lot of people can connect two different businesses to each other. If you're trying to get your business off the ground, you may be able to copy some of the things that we're going to talk about today that allow you to do that. And so this morning, though, I've got an exciting show. Ken Alexandro of Agape Tactical. For most of you that are out there, we hear about all the things going on when it comes to our personal self-defense. And this morning, we're going to find out a lot about it. So, Ken, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
It's going to be an interesting day today because not only do we get to learn about how to protect ourselves, but we also how to start a business and things like that. So give me a little background. What is Agape Tactical? How is it, happening? And how did it get started? Give me a little background.
Well, in 2005, the pastor of my church had thought, and before it was popular to have a church safety or security ministry, he had asked if I would help develop a program for our church. And on the first day, we announced it. 42 people, volunteers, showed up, and we started a ministry just protecting our church. And as it grew, other churches would call our pastor and say, "I hear you got something going on down there. Who's doing it? How did it start?" And this was just a favor for my pastor. Of course, it's, you know, I wasn't making any money at this. He asked me because I spent 26 years with the Nashville Metropolitan Police Department. Most of my time was in some capacity as a trainer. I was an academy instructor. I went to the FBI Violent Crimes Task Force for a short stint, and then I came back as a field training officer where I was teaching recruits. When they graduated the academy, they'd ride with me for 2 months at a time, and we would put practical application to the bookwork to street work.
Right.
So most of my career had to do with training others. Okay. And I was a confrontation management instructor, which means everything to do with use of force or how to de-escalate use of force. So again, I started this ministry at my church, and then other pastors would call, and pretty soon just churches kept lining up and asking for help and training. And what turned out to be a favor turned out to be turned into a part-time job. And then as I decided to form Agape Tactical, I was just doing it under no name, just going out there and helping. And then we decided to form an LLC, which we did in 2013. And then I was testing the waters, just asking the Lord, "Hey, if you want me to do this, let me know if I can sustain it and take care of my family."
Right. And so one of the things that we talked about before the show is you started out on a part-time basis. And I tell people this all the time. You know, if you want to go in business for yourself, you know, one of the ways you take the risk out is you kind of test market what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And I want to kind of give our listeners a little background, you know, how I met you and your company. A number of years ago, I had made a decision that I wanted to learn how to protect myself. Mm-hmm. And I did that. And Sparky, as we both know and love, Sparky is one of the guys that started with me teaching me martial arts. And I jumped in full force, and we did one-on-one training for, I did it 30 days in a row, you know, starting out. I started out, and I was like, "Man, I like this," and never done it at, you know, 56 years old at that time. I'd never done any of that kind of stuff. And then eventually it turned into get my gun permit, and I got trained, and then I went through a tactical, I guess, a full-day shooting course. And I went from, in a period of just a few months, went from being very uncomfortable, hadn't shot a gun in 25 years, mm-hmm. to learning more about personal safety than ever before. And so, you know, what you did is you started out part-time, You were a police officer, a trainer, mm-hmm. all that kind of thing. And then from there, you were part-time doing this. How many years then? 4 years? Is that what you told me?
Yeah, I did it 4 years before I retired from the police department.
Okay, so basically what happened, guys, if you're out there, here's a guy that had a regular paycheck, did it for 26 years, and you have to think that leaving a regular paycheck, going out there on your own, paying your own expenses, doing your own thing, it's got to be scary, but you were able to do it. So tell them what you were thinking when you were doing all this kind of stuff.
That I'm absolutely crazy.
Yeah?
Yeah, it was when I decided to retire January 3rd of 2017, I had made that decision back in July or August of that year because there's a process to retiring for a government. You have to put in your paperwork, and then there's a certain amount of time that has to go by. And about up to November, I was still thinking to myself, am I making a mistake?
Right.
Can I – you know, I'm leaving insurance.
Am I going to be able to make it?
Sure, sure. And then December 1st hit, and just a peace came over me. And it was going to be fine. And it was just an answer to prayer. And so never looked back. Once we retired, it was and it's funny. I retired at 47 because 26 years. I started right out of when I graduated from the University of Tennessee at 22, and or 21, you know, I left guaranteed insurance, a paycheck every 2 weeks, but we've never missed a beat.
Yeah, and now you wake up every day. Nobody's telling you what to do. You run your own life. And guys, if you're right now, you know, considering doing something on your own, you're listening to the way where I started out part-time, was 18 months, never had any kind of background in the investment business, and now 35 years later, that's what I've been doing. And so you guys really focus in on teaching people awareness.
Absolutely.
Am I right on that? So talk a little bit about that, and then we'll keep on that after we go into a break.
Sure. Yes, we own a gun company and a gun range, and we train firearms, but our goal is that a gun is never seen. And how is that possible? Every conflict you can avoid, you win 100% of the time. How do you do that? It's by changing the way you live. And you don't live in a state of paranoia. You live in a state of preparedness. We call it just Colonel Cooper's color codes of awareness. White means unaware, relaxed, and unaware. And 98% of Americans live in color code white. And we know that to be true because every morning when we turn on the news, you see someone's been victimized of a crime or someone's been carjacked or burglarized or robbed or raped or beaten.
And most of the time, those kind of things, you can remove yourself from that if you just pay attention.
Absolutely.
Am I right on that?
Absolutely. And again, not being where you shouldn't be or being caught alone where you shouldn't be, all of these things are we become voluntary victims.
So what we're going to do, I got Ken on here, and we'll take your call, 737-9522, and we're going to go to a break and be back, and we're going to talk. I think it's going to be an interesting storyline the rest of this morning. So 737-9522, this is Roy Matlock Jr. We'll be right back.
This is Roy Matlock Jr.'s Money and Business Hour. The Money and Business Hour with Roy Matlock Jr.
All right, we're back. Roy Matlock here, and I'm with Ken Alexandro, and we are, you know, talking about personal safety and really talking about a small business success story where someone, you know, goes from the guarantees and turns it into a business. And, you know, I believe that's why we're in a country right now that we're in, you know, the land of opportunity. You know, that's why we wake up every day and we have our freedoms. But sometimes we got to protect our freedoms. And if you have any questions for Ken, 615-737-9522. Also, if you want to visit roymatlockjr.com, you'll have access to all of the different people that that we bring on, as well as all of the prior shows, as well as this show will be up in the next few hours after we do this. So, Ken, we're talking about awareness, and we talked about the white zone, and kind of bring it, if people are just tuning in right now, how do you protect yourself What is the key to protecting yourself?
Well, it goes back to just changing the way we live. And before we went off the air, we talked about, you know, how 98% of Americans live in code white, which is relaxed and unaware.
Give an example.
Well, I mean, just simply walk into our car.
Okay.
You know, how many times do we see someone leaving I had an opportunity to do an interview with some people in prison who attack women for a living. That's why they're in prison.
Yeah.
But they said, where's their favorite place to attack? And they call it places of transition. When you're walking from a place of relative safety, like a store,
okay,
and you're walking to your vehicle. How many times do we see, and by the way, whether you believe it or not, they're watching you. They're watching you. They say they're watching you. They're not just picking you random. When you walk out of the doors of whatever mall or store you're leaving, if you will just take the time to put your phone away and look, they say if a woman will just look left and look right before she crosses into the parking lot and not be occupied with her cell phone, her devices, she's not an attractive victim, because then they can't sneak up behind you. Their favorite way to attack is from behind. They push you down between two cars. They don't want to spend more than a minute and a half with you, because that's their time to get caught. So they're looking for the unaware, unprepared.
Yeah, so if you're on your phone talking and you're just having fun and all that kind of stuff, you put yourself in their victim zone.
Sure. You can't stop what you can't see.
Right.
And unfortunately, and please understand, I have a cell phone, so does everybody in my family, but they have caused our country to go into an acute state of anal cranial insertion.
You
know,
gotcha.
We're so focused on that, we don't focus on anything, our surroundings, which is what we should be focused on. So that's zone white, as an example. Color code yellow is how we should live our lives, and it is not a state of paranoia. It is a state of preparedness. It is relaxed but aware.
Right.
So when you walk into a restaurant, where do you sit? You sit facing the door where you can see who comes and who goes.
Yeah, with nothing behind you.
That's right. That's right. We're not, and you studied Krav Maga with our guys, and you understand, as good as you may be or as good, you can't fight from behind.
Right, right.
You know,
yeah,
the
dead zone.
That's
yeah,
right. If I slap a rear naked choke on you, you're going to go night-night in a few seconds, right? There's
right.
not a whole lot you can do about it. However, if you see me and you face me, now you have an opportunity to defend yourself.
Right.
So, and that's what living life in yellow is seeing. But again, we don't want to fight.
Right.
But if we identify something that is unhealthy for us, go back inside and have somebody walk
right.
you to your car.
Yeah, well, and another example, I know that Sparky, when we first got started, he's like, let me show you how you park. So talk about parking.
Oh, always back in. So when we park, when I go through a parking, into a parking lot, as I'm looking for a space, I'm also scanning the surroundings. And then I always back in or pull all the way through wherever I park.
And why do you do that?
Well, because I don't have the exact stat, but when I was a police officer, it seemed like 80% of the wrecks that we worked were in parking lots, people backing up into each other.
Yeah.
There's a blind spot.
Yeah.
But if you back into your spot or you pull all the way through and you pull forward, when you leave, you can't back into anybody.
Right. So if somebody's coming at you.
Sure.
You have the ability to get out of there
sure.
without panicking and backing up and doing
right.
it. And, you know, one of the other things that, that your door becomes a shield.
Can be, absolutely.
Yeah.
And or if you can't get to your car, you can always run back into the building.
Right, right.
So, and then so code yellow is how we should live our life, just aware, relaxed but aware. Orange is I've identified a threat, but I need more information. So that's your intuition
yeah.
or your suspicion.
Right.
Then red is I've identified a threat, but now I'm in the fight. Okay,
right.
What have I trained to do to defend myself? How
right.
can I help? And then black is frozen in fear.
Yeah.
If you live life in code white, which is relaxed and unaware, the only place you can go to in a critical incident when someone's
yeah.
attacking you is code black.
Yeah.
Because you
yeah.
have nothing to fall back on.
Right.
I hear people say this, and I throw a red flag or a football penalty yellow flag at it. They say I'll rise to the occasion. I'll do what I got to do when it happens. That's bull. No one will rise to the occasion under stress. You will sink to your highest level of mastery in
yeah.
your training. And if you have no training that you've mastered, you're going to freeze because you
right.
have nowhere to go.
Yeah, yeah. So what happens is we go out. Most people go out through their life, and they. Nothing's happened to them,
mm-hmm.
so they think that nothing's going to happen to them. But realistically, they may have just been lucky. They were in the 98% that you know, got something happened to the 2%. They were in the 98%. It wasn't for any reason. And so what we
well, what ought to scare you to death is, you know, I've got an 8-year-old daughter. One out of four women between the ages of 18 and 30 are sexually assaulted in our country. This is in our country.
Okay.
So the last FBI stats is every 3 minutes there's a rape in our country. You know, so and unfortunately, people get help after the fact.
Right.
Because
right.
because the of the mentality, it'll never happen to me. Can't right. happen to me.
Right.
Until it happens to you. But now you got to live with the scars.
Right. So the idea is you get some training.
Sure.
So let's talk about some of the training you guys do. I know you do churches, schools, but what about individuals, all that kind of stuff?
Absolutely. So we anything to have to do with self-preservation, self-defense, we teach. Whether it's carry permit, tactical handgun. I've got a tactical rifle class going on right now, and all levels. So we don't just start you in running and gunning. You got to crawl before you walk, and then you get to run. And all of our classes, we believe in repetition. So we shoot a lot. Each class is an 8-hour block of training, and you'll shoot between 400 and 500 rounds, whether it's a pistol or a rifle class. You'll get a lot of reps, and it's the basics.
You know, I went into, you know, I got my permit, and when I did the permit, I didn't do it through you guys.
Right.
And then I met up with, you know, Sparky that I've talked to you about. And, you know, the neat thing about the guys that, and I say this, that you have working for you, these are not the Tuesday night self-defense course kind of people. Tell them real quick about that, and then I'll tell about that, my experience of the course.
Sure. So all of my – I have 18 contractors and operators, and all of them are – and we truly – we humbly say and we believe that we have the best individuals in the country at what we do, whether it's trading a church or individuals. All of our guys are retired SWAT commanders or SWAT guys. I have 3 Navy SEALs and Special Forces military, and the reason for that is we've all been in critical incidences. We understand what stress does to the body. So when we train in all of our classes, our goal is to have stress inoculation in as part of our curriculum, where we get your heart rate up, and we let you experience as close as we can to what it's like in a critical incident, and then you have to perform. Doing a PowerPoint or going to an indoor gun range where the weather is 75 degrees and there's no wind and no one shooting back at you or fighting you, it's great for marksmanship training. But when you're talking about learning tactics, one, there has to be movement, right? Because the bad guy's going to move and hopefully you're going to be moving, which is kind of difficult in most indoor ranges. So when we're training you, we believe our programs are the most realistic around because of what we put you through.
Right. You know, you're talking about that. I think I got – I went to the hottest 8-hour day that's ever been. I had every sweat bee around me, and we did. We shot probably 500 rounds that day. But the thing that I learned most in that course was, you know, what do you do when it jams? You know, all that – and we – you know, did all the different jams. We did different types of, you know, shooting from the side, you know, the length of, you know, all these kind of things. But the thing that I picked up most out of all of it is that we're not I didn't get trained to it wasn't Tuesday night self-defense class. It was like real life stuff that they taught me. Most importantly, you know, like now when I pull in a parking space, you know, I know exactly, you know, I look around, I do things like that. My girlfriend, when we walk into a restaurant, she knows you know, where I'm going, that kind of thing.
Sure.
And so things like that you learn that you don't really get from people that are, that hadn't been, like you said, all your guys have been shot at.
Yeah. Or returned fire.
Yeah, returned fire. There you go.
So.
Yep. Okay, well, we're gonna take a short break, and my name is Roy Matlock Jr. I hope you're enjoying this show. We're going to talk more with Ken as we come back after the break. 615-737-9522. If you have any kind of questions for Ken, we'll bring him right on and answer those questions.
This is Roy Matlock Jr.'s Money and Business Hour. Now, back to the Money and Business Hour with Roy Matlock Jr.
All right, we're back on at 737-9522. If you have questions for Ken Alexandro, we've been talking about personal safety, and now I want to talk about Ken, talk about, you know, some of the things that you found. There's people out here right now that, you know, they hate their job. They, you know, they wake up Monday morning and want to throw up because they can't stand what they're doing, and they do that their whole life. And, you know, the thing about it is not only most people that hate their job, in addition to hating their job, they're probably not making a lot of money either, because, you know, very seldom do you hate something so bad that pays you so much. And so, you know, so they're not getting paid. They're not doing what they want to do. They're sick and tired of that. But they really think they've got something in them that ought to do something. You were in that situation working at the police department for many, many years and then started something. So what do you think what's the first step somebody ought to think about?
Well, to clarify, I never hated my job at the police department.
Yeah.
I absolutely loved what I did.
Right. And let me say this. You know, one of the things that that happens is most businesses, they emerge from not wanting to work from somebody, and a lot of times they take the same skill set and turn it into a business. But anyway, go ahead.
You know, and I'm thankful to them because they allowed me. They trained me.
Yeah.
They prepared me for my retirement.
Right.
And but you're exactly right on the point where I had a skill set, and I was gifted with how to relay information to others to
right.
where they can understand it.
Right.
Okay. There's one thing about being a good shooter or being
yeah.
a good fighter, but it's another thing to be able to explain to someone else how to be a good. I want
right.
you to be better than me.
Right.
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 That's our goal as teachers, as
right.
coaches, is when you leave here, you're going to be better than me, or
right.
else I didn't do my job.
Right.
So I loved what I did, but the whole reason for leaving was the part-time job was taking over my full-time job. And if I couldn't concentrate on working because my lives depended on my ability to stay focused.
Right, right.
right? And I was losing that focus, and then it was time to go.
Right, right.
But when you do leave, there's so many things to think about that I never thought about.
Right.
So I had the clientele part lined up.
Right.
I established that word of mouth
right.
and that business. And residual business, boy, that's real big, is your relationship. I believe in relationships.
Right.
I have clients because I love on them. You know, I may not charge what I need to charge, but I have people that love what we do, and we continue to have them year after year after year.
Right.
We train them.
Well, yeah, any business, I mean, you want to wake up. All the businesses that I own, I wake up every year at the beginning of the year knowing that I've got recurring income coming
yeah.
in. If you don't have that, it's very hard. I always tell people this, that if you don't have a recurring income business, you'll get tired one day. And when you get tired, then it's not good. And so you want to build a business that will allow you to have recurring income. Like,
sure.
you know, that's what you're talking about.
And word of mouth is everything to us. We ask our students after every class, hey, we don't traditionally advertise like we should, but we need if you enjoyed yourself, tell somebody about it. And that's just been, like I said, I've got a rifle class going on right now, and just each class every weekend is for a blessing. We're blessed that they're full, so that's a great thing. But things to think about, insurance.
Right.
You know, especially when you're dealing with firearms or dealing with physical dynamic tactics where,
right.
where the possibility of someone getting injured or hurt, you know, you have to be insured for that.
Right.
I'm a professional speaker, so I travel all over the country and do seminars for a different industry on safety and workplace violence. So I had to have A&E insurance,
right?
Errors and omissions, things
right.
you may or may
yep.
not say.
Yeah, yeah.
And all these things, none of it's cheap.
Right.
And insurance
right.
isn't free.
Right, right, right.
So,
but you got to have that, or you can't, you know, you can't even hire. A lot of times you can't even get the job
sure.
if you don't have that. So
sure. showing that proof of insurance certificate. Prior to is,
right.
is paramount.
So real quick, you know, we've been on here all morning. AgapeTactical.com. You've got some special offers.
Yeah, anybody who goes on the website and has heard this program, there's a promo code section. If they'll type in Matlock, you'll get a 10% discount off any class or anything that we offer. And we just love to have you, and we'd like to know that you heard us from here.
So they can come over there and get their gun permit,
mm-hmm.
And if they've already been shooting, they can get like real training.
Absolutely.
And what else can they get?
So if you're a church or an organization, a school, we can come and train your safety ministry or your security team members. You know, private schools in Tennessee have the right to arm themselves because they're not afforded. The state does not provide, or the cities don't provide SROs for them in the schools. So if you want to have a safety program in your private school or security vulnerability assessment done,
okay.
You know, anything that we offer, anything in the art of self-defense, self-preservation, firearms, rifle,
so,
we teach.
So, you know, we've had I read all this kind of stuff all the time, and one of the, you know, big things is, well, we don't want to have armed people in the schools because they're a problem. Okay, so talk about what you do if a church or school, what kind of training do they really get?
Well, they get what's called the whole force continuum. The last thing we ever want seen or shown is a firearm.
Right.
Okay. So but how do you do that? We have a deter, detect, deny philosophy. You know, how do we deterrence is all about the psychological stopping it before it happens.
Right.
There's always going to be pre-attack surveillance to any before any incident happens, whether it's a school, whether it's a church, and you know, even bad guys who are going to rob a liquor store are going to watch it a couple days.
Yeah.
You know, or watch it a few hours before they do. They want to see the comings and goings until the police come around.
Yeah.
So we want to deter them with how we set up your safety. And we will never change the warm, loving look, feel of a church or a school and
right.
turn it into a paramilitary organization.
Right.
We're not putting rifles in the parking lots or in the bell towers. We just work on access control, and we have people that are visible.
Okay. Right.
So then detection is you can't stop what you can't see. You know, we got to teach you how to identify a threat.
Right.
And then what is deny? And it's not denial. It can't happen to me. It's the denial of what am I willing to do to stop that threat.
Right.
And if it's with firearms, then we, you know, our teams, they shoot a lot. Why? Because they have to be perfect.
Right.
You know, you got to remember, even if you're in a critical incident and you've got a bad guy that you got to put down, if you miss that bad guy and you hit an innocent,
right,
you're in trouble.
Right, right.
So we have to make sure that we're perfect. In our schools that we train, for example, our clients will have 9 training days a year, one every quarter, and 5 days in the summer. They'll shoot 3,500 rounds apiece per year.
Yeah,
because they have to be perfect.
Right.
And you know, the average police department.
So how many hours is 3,500
rounds?
That's
9 8-hour classes.
9 8-hour classes.
Yeah.
Think about that.
But also remember, we're changing your life. We're making you a better husband or wife or better citizen, because now not only are you a better shooter, but you're more aware, because, again, we don't ever want to see the gun.
Right.
So it makes you more aware of your surroundings and less likely to be a victim. We're changing your life for the better. We're changing your children's lives.
Right.
Okay? So it's a lifestyle change that you benefit from.
So how prevalent, you know, we hear all this, the church you know, shootings and different things like that. We see them on the news, but how prevalent is this?
Carl Chin from Focus on the Family, he was with Focus on the Family with Dr. Dobson. He's charts all of the stats, and he's been doing it since 1999. So from 1999 to 2017, there were 1,705 deadly force incidents on faith-based properties.
Wow.
All right. So, and we don't hear about a lot of them, because if it doesn't meet the media's criteria, because media generally is liberal,
yeah.
And if it's not race-based, or it's not brutally grotesque like the one in Texas where 21 people were slaughtered, you're not going to hear about it. I mean, if it's not in your town, like we had the one in Antioch,
yeah.
So we all heard about it. But when Texas happened and we all heard, but the same day San Diego had a church shooting, 2 were killed. We didn't hear about it. Why? Because it didn't fit the criteria.
Right.
Okay? So you're not going to hear a lot about it because
when one person gets shot or something like that.
But that's still faith-based. That's still violence in churches.
Yeah.
Right? And more people of faith are being targeted for what they believe.
Right. Right.
So
so it's way more prevalent than most people can imagine.
Absolutely.
And I heard that stat, and I was like, man, alive, that is a lot. You know, it makes you wonder about getting up in the morning. But, I mean, the bottom line, you go in and you educate, stuff like that. So all of these things you do at Agape Tactical, and that's AGAPETactical.com, and put my name in there, and you're going to end up getting you know, a discount on all the different courses, right?
Absolutely. Yes, sir.
So if they want to get their gun training, and I guess you got martial arts in there too as well.
Well, and what makes us special is we'll come to your facility. We'll come to you.
All right.
All our stuff loads up in a trailer, and we bring it to you.
Very good. So what we're going to do, we've got just a few minutes. You know, I thought this was a very interesting interview, so stick with us, 737-9522 if you have a question. We'll be right back.
This is Roy Mathock Jr.'s Money and Business Hour. Now, back to the Money and Business Hour with Roy Mathock Jr.
All right, we're back. You know, this morning we're going to finish the show up with how to start a new business, and because we've got a small business success story, and I think this is a very interesting thing to talk about, which is personal safety. And so, Ken, let's finish up with, you know, we start a business out, we got to have our money, we got to give four or five things that you found people have to do to get their business started.
So the first is make sure it's viable, have all that right. Reoccurring income or a client base.
And so you say make sure it's viable. How do they do that?
Well, again, before you quit your paycheck, you know, your every week or every bi-monthly paycheck, do it part-time and make sure – save money. Because
right.
If you have that rough start and things don't go 1 month, you've got to have an emergency fund
right
to be able to supplement and support you so you're not in a soup line somewhere.
Right. So step number one is you determine if it's viable. Viable meaning, you know, if people are not doing business with you part-time, it doesn't mean they're going to do business with you full-time.
Sure.
So what you need to do is be thinking about, you know, if I'm going to start on a part-time basis – you know, develop it into something that I can actually make a profit. Otherwise, it's a hobby.
Sure.
All right. And it's fine having hobbies. The only difference in a hobby and a business is, you know, I play golf.
Mm-hmm.
And I spend a lot of money on my golf. I can never call it a business, you know. And so anyway, so step number one, you got to have an emergency fund, got to make sure it's viable, which means you've actually transacted business with people mm-hmm. more than once on a consistent basis.
There. Part of that is writing a business plan.
Yeah,
it's got to be on paper. And what I did was able to I had mentors who were very, very successful businessmen. And I have them look over it. And their job is to poke holes in it.
Right, right.
And to shoot it into Swiss cheese. And then if I can fill those holes, if I can answer those questions, then you may have something.
Well, you know, when I can look back, I've got four or five guys that were people that really – my mentors, people
sure.
that really helped me. And, you know, having a great coach is most important, because if you, you know, otherwise you got to live through trial and error. And a lot of times trial and error will knock you out. You may not have the staying power for trial and error. Okay, so we got a business plan. What goes into the business plan?
Everything. Every possible source of income, every possible expense. And I'm telling you, in a service business like what I do, you have no idea how much training equipment costs.
Yeah.
Right? It is not difficult to prepare a PowerPoint and give a lecture, but
right.
nobody learns anything.
Right.
Right? You may be funny and they may clap for you, but they've retained 10% of what you said.
Right.
So in all of our training, we do realistic so when we do an active shooter training, we use blank live rounds.
Yeah.
So when we come in, we want you to feel that, but that costs money.
Yeah,
you know, and so we're using ARs that are set up for blanks, and then we have simunitions guns for force on force training. We don't use airsoft because it's not realistic.
Right.
Okay. We use SIMS guns, which the round travels at 450 feet per second. It leaves welts of biblical proportion.
Yeah.
Right. You really know when you messed up. Our red man suits, our full contact suits, are, you know, $2,000 a piece.
Yeah.
And that has to be replaced every couple years.
Yeah.
So all of this cost money.
So talk about the red man suit. I've never heard of it.
Oh, okay. So it's a padded suit, covers you from head to toe, and you look like the Michelin man.
Okay.
Truly, if you hit me with a car, as long as you didn't run over me, I'd after I bounced off and
right.
got up, you really can't hurt somebody.
Gotcha.
But it allows the the student to be in a conflict at 110%, where normally under normal circumstances you couldn't do that. You'd knock each other out.
Yeah, because I mean, if you never get hit,
right?
You never know what being hit is and how you're going to react to it.
Sure, you don't want to train for a fight with point fighting or pulling punches because you'll do that for real.
Right. Okay. All right. So we got the business plan. We got equipment. We've got – all right. What else you got?
So we talked about the reoccurring marketing.
Right.
You know, you need to put aside – and I've heard different percentages, and I don't necessarily I'm not able to do this all the time, but I was told about 20% of what you make ought to go into marketing for future business. And when you don't have money – that's when you really got to market.
Yeah, you got to spend money when no one else is buying, because marketing can be a couple things too. Mm-hmm. One, it can be pure, you know, like advertising, and then the other side is you've got salespeople,
right?
That you got to incent, you know, because if you're running a business, you're probably going to have people out there, and so I think it's a good rule of thumb, you know, 20-25%, maybe more than that, should go into getting the money. And I always tell people, if you want to win in business, money generally speaking can fix problems, but if you don't have a plan to bring the dollars in, you can't fix anything. And so anyway, Samar, I agree with you on that.
Yeah,
what else did you do?
Be careful not to get more business than you're prepared to service,
right?
Because then you have customers that are waiting, or you're having to pick up instructors that haven't been vetted and maybe don't know your program well enough, and they give a less than stellar training seminar or session, and then now word of mouth is negative, not positive.
Right.
So you outgrow your infrastructure, and that'll make you fail.
Yeah, and so what you want to do is you want to have good documents, so the classes are the same.
Right.
And I know in my business, I've got, I don't know, 500 or 600 PowerPoint presentations that every time I do anything, I usually put it on PowerPoint. Then I post it so every one of my people can see it. Mm-hmm. And then that way you start developing a system where people are doing it the same way.
Sure.
I mean, you think about, we go into a Starbucks or a McDonald's, and you know there's 15,000-20,000 stores in the U.S. If you own that business, you can never get around to seeing them all. But I get the same product all the way around. So,
and we're not creating robot instructors, because they all have their own personality. We just want to make sure there's a continuity in training.
Right.
So when I teach a tactical pistol 2 class, I want to make sure they learned the same nomenclature, the same verbiage, and the same skill set from TAC 1 that I don't have to reteach or reinvent the wheel. Right.
Right.
They just flow right in flawlessly.
Right. Right. So they go from one to the next. All right. You said you spent some money on a website.
Yep. Started out with the free, the very inexpensive build your own websites,
right?
And then realized that some things that you want to do when you want to register students or you want to collect money on the website, it becomes problematic on some of those websites.
Right.
So we hired Birdsong Creative and spent more money than I was comfortable with.
Right. Right.
But now we have a really good working website that
does it.
Things move across the screen and. It's really, really nice.
You know what? Your web presence today will make a good business look bad or a bad business look good.
Roger that.
But if you can combine a good business with a good website, then you got a good system to where people actually know what you're doing. And I always tell people, if you're a business owner, you need to have a great email system to where you stay in front of people and follow up. And because people want to do business with people that are pros.
Sure.
That are professional, that you know, I always went down the path, you know, been many years on the radio, and my goal was always to educate. Mm-hmm. And if I can educate somebody, one day they will choose me because I'm the one that is the most qualified, you know, by teaching them how to do things and stuff like that. So
absolutely.
Any other comments that you got on starting up a business?
Sure. Save money for taxes.
Save money for taxes.
Yeah, because it comes around every year.
Yeah. And, you know, I think our tax laws would change if everybody had to pay quarterly, you know. So, you know, right now, if you work somewhere and they have it withheld for you, then it's kind of the pain. You get used to take-home pay.
Right.
But when you have to write a check every quarter, you get a full understanding of taxes. So, yep. Anyway.
Well, if I can go back to the very beginning, just on what really helped me, some advice I got from my mentor. When I was doing it part-time, I never paid myself.
Right.
I put 100% of those profits for 4 years into the account to help build up to buy the equipment.
Yeah, the infrastructure.
Because I didn't need the money.
Right, right.
So again, if you don't need it, that's a very, very important for me. For me, something real important is I'm always tithing.
Right.
You know, that's just that it goes with the faith based. And we've always been successful doing that. But I think the most important thing is you make sure if you're married, your family's on board.
Right.
Because now it's not just me. And now, if I was single, it would just be me. But I've got a bride and two kids.
Right.
You know, so I've got to make sure that they're committed to this process as I am, and they're going to support it in the good times and the bad.
Yeah, and the other thing too is guys, if you have a business, you need to realize that business more than likely you're going to put a lot of time into that business, and you've got to be on board. I see this many, many times. You know, we've had in my business, I have meetings just for the spouses to give them an idea. Because a lot of times when you start your business out, it's not like you go straight to the top. I know for me, I grew 18 years in a row, but the first 7 years I was really just I was the most underpaid man on the planet for the time I put in. Mm-hmm. But then after that, I got overpaid, and so you have to have your spouse on board if you want to get it happening. Anything else? We've got about a minute left, and then we're going to close down here. It's been a great show, I think.
Well, I just appreciate the time anyone who is, like you said before, timid or not sure about protecting themselves, whether it be with a firearm or hand-to-hand women's self-defense seminars, please give us a call. Our goal is to teach. You're going to be comfortable.
Right.
You know, we just want you to understand. You're not scared of guns because you just don't know about them, right? And we want to make you comfortable in that process, in that learning process. We have women instructors that train women's classes.
Yeah.
Why? Because sometimes women are more comfortable with a man yelling over the top.
Well, my girlfriend's a real estate agent. I mean, I think every realtor, you know, should have some training.
We're CE credited for real estate.
There
so
you
if,
go.
If they want to teach realtor self-defense, they can get 1 to 4 hours
All right.
from our company.
All right. Well, we're going to close it down here. This has been an interview.
When you said real estate, I said, wow.